are we for God? Do we get to the point where we say, God, I can't make it without you. God, I can't do anything without you. I'm so hungry for you. I'm so desperate for you. And that's the way God wants us to come to him. Like, God, I've just got to have you in my life. God, I'm so desperate for a touch from God. You know, not everybody wants it, but not everybody's hungry as other folks. Amen. Some folks need God more than I guess others do or think that they do. But I don't know about you, but I can't even walk across the street without God. I don't want to go anywhere without God. I'm desperate for him every day of my life. I'm desperate to have an encounter with God. Why? Because we live in an evil, wicked world, and we need God walking with us, holding our hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Amen. As the praise team is seated, I want you to go around to at least five people, shake their hand, let them know that it's good to see them. I think one of the tragedies in church is people come and leave untouched, but find you five people, tell them that you're happy that they're in God's house today. Amen. So glad to see everybody today in God's house, all the smiling faces. Tell you a little something that's going to put another smile on your face. Just got a report from our building next door. We have 45 kids in children's church this morning. Yeah, never mind, wrong number. 51 kids in children's church this morning. That is just amazing. Sister Vicky and our team is doing an incredible job with our children. So we are so excited what God is doing at our church. It is growing by leaps and bounds, and we're just so excited. Thank you for being a part of it. If you have your Bibles today, want to follow along with me, be coming out of 1 Kings chapter 18. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to look at verses 41 through 46. Amen. If you're able to do so, you can please stand for the reading of the word. If not, that's okay. 1 Kings 18, when you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, look up at the screen. let's start in verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing that is on your word, O Lord. I ask you now, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay, that I may speak what thus saith the Lord to your people today. And God, we give this service completely to you, that your perfect will be done. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on the topic, the clouds are forming. The clouds are forming. We're going to lay a little background before we get to where our text was today, and a couple of things I want to share with you this morning. But Elijah, we don't really know a lot about him. He just burst on the scene and walked into Ahab's court and said, "It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain," and turned around and walked out like a boss. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Now, we don't not told in the Bible who Elijah's parents are. All throughout the scripture, it tells you all these names begat this name, and this one begat this one, all these names we can't pronounce. So we don't really know about him, but we understand that by his name, Elijah is a representation of God. Why? How do we get that? The E-L in Elijah's name comes from Elohim, which means God. The J-A-H in Elijah's name comes from the word hallelujah, which means praise God. So you've got Elohim and hallelujah that make up Elijah's name. So Elijah's name literally means God is God. So we understand that even though that we don't know who his parents are, we do understand that he is a representation of God on the face of the earth. So here he is walking into Ahab and Jezebel's court. And if you understand, Ahab was the king at this time, and he had a very wicked wife named Jezebel. And Elijah walks right in and says, "It's not going to rain till I say it's going to rain." They didn't know who he was. He walked right in, said that, turned around, and walked out. And just as he had spoken, it did not rain for 3.5 years. Now, this threw the entire land into a drought. When there is no water for that length of time, the rivers begin to dry up, the creeks begin to dry up, lakes begin to dry up, because there is nothing coming to replenish it. Let me stop right there. You must take time to replenish. Amen. You can't just continually give and give and go and go and go without taking time to replenish yourself. And that's the problem we have many times, is you're no good pouring to somebody out of an empty well. You've got to get your well filled back up, because if you're constantly pouring into people and pouring out of yourself all of the time, you'll end up getting dry yourself, and then you're no good to anyone trying to pour out of an empty well. So take time to replenish. Why? Because if you don't replenish, then drought is inevitable. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in there. So this threw the entire land into a drought, and people had to adapt to living in drought conditions. When there is no rain and water is scarce and things like that, you have to adapt to living in that environment. And the problem that they had was it wasn't getting any better. And there are people today that are having to adapt their lives to live to what happened to them and what they're going through. And they end up adapting to all these crazy things in life. I heard somebody say, "Well, you get used to it." But it is amazing what people get used to living with. Amen. So at this time, during this drought, the children of Israel were torn between worshiping Baal and worshiping God. The Bible says that Elijah went to the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If God is God, serve God. But if Baal is God, serve Baal." And I had this conversation with someone the other night that God said he'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. So basically, Elijah was saying there comes a time that you got to make a choice. You either going to live for God or you're not. All this straddle the fence, I want to live for God, but I want to still hold on to some things. And I had someone tell me the other day that they're not ready to start serving God yet. And I'm like, what a bad thing to say, that you're not ready to start serving God, because the rapture is soon to take place. God's about to come back, and people that have not made their mind up are going to be left behind to face the torments that are coming upon this earth. And today is the day of salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I challenge you today to make that choice. It is the best choice you'll ever make, and quit riding the fence of whether you're going to serve God or not. Amen. So the people worship God sometimes, and they worship Baal sometimes. Why did they do this? Let me help you a little bit right here. It's going to challenge you a little bit, but let me help you. They worship Baal to please Jezebel. They wanted Jezebel happy with them. Jezebel was the queen. So Jezebel, in this instance, and worshiping Baal to please Jezebel, was meaning they wanted to please the political system.
All right? Then they worship Jehovah to make the priest happy. That is the religious system. So here they are trying to please both the religious system and the political system. So let me bring that down to you. They were trying to follow God while being politically correct. Whew. I could preach right there for a while, because when you begin to follow the things of God, you will not be politically correct. Why? Because politics is a cesspool of corruption. And that's not just in Washington, that's in local politics, state politics, national politics. It is a cesspool of corruption, and if you try to be politically correct, you'll be so far off the deep end you can't even see God. So here's this people. That's all right. Y'all don't have to shout while I'm preaching good. You got all these people wanting to worship Baal and to keep Jezebel happy, to find favor with them. My God, what do we compromise God's word for to find favor with people? We compromise God's word so people will give more money. We compromise God's word so people will be more people at our churches. We compromise God's word so we can win a popularity contest. But at what cost? Amen. They were compromising, following after God to make somebody happy that couldn't do anything for them. Hello? What do we sell out God for? Much less many times. We sell out God for mere pleasures. We sell out God for so many things. So they were worshiping God, but trying to remain politically correct. I'm sorry, I'm not politically correct. But I'd much rather be biblically correct than politically correct. Because our elected officials are not who I'm going to stand before on Judgment Day. We're going to stand before a holy God that's going to judge us according to this. This is His law. This is His book. Amen. And if God judges us by this, ask yourself, are you guilty or not guilty? You're not going to be judged by man's opinion. You're not going to be judged by what somebody said, what somebody thinks. My Lord, man's opinion changes with a drop of a hat. Somebody can love you one day and hate you the next. I've said it before, but I've had people say that they would follow me and my ministry till the Lord came back, and they're gone, and I'm like, did I miss the rapture? People will turn on you and on a dime. Amen. I got one amen in the house, and that was from a preacher. Because he knows. Amen. So they were trying to follow God and remain politically correct. So time passes by, and there comes a confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Now, I love Elijah. He was a bad dude. So here is Elijah against all these hundreds of prophets of Baal. One man against hundreds. He wasn't scared. He wasn't intimidated. What was he doing? He was trash talking them. Let me show you a little bit. This is in Scripture. So time passes by. There's a confrontation between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. And the contest considered on whoever's God answered by fire would be the God they would serve. They were gonna build an altar. And whoever's God let fire fall down, they said, we're going to serve that God. So all the prophets of Baal said, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that. So Elijah was like, let's go. You first. There's more of you than me. You first. And the Bible said the prophets of Baal began to cry out and all day long. And then all of a sudden, Elijah started heckling them. He said, cry a little louder. Maybe your God's asleep and can't hear you. He said, maybe your God needs a little more time. He's on a journey and ain't made it back yet. He went as far as said, give him a few minutes. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Here is one man against hundreds of prophets of Baal, and he is trash talking. That is my kind of guy. He's like, y'all could probably beat the stew out of me, but I'm going to still talk smack to you. So Elijah's just, he's trash talking them. And they got so enthroned in their crying out that they even began to cut themselves with stones. They began to do all kind of things. And finally, after all day long of them doing it, Elijah said, sit down. Let me show you how it's done. And he prayed a 63-word prayer, and fire fell out of heaven. Consumed the altar. Consumed all the water. And the Bible says it even licked up the dust around it. See, let me help you right here. It's okay to trash talk if you can back it up. If you can't back it up, you're in trouble. So make sure, don't go out there and start trash talking a bunch of people and come back to church all swole up. Well, my pastor told me I could try. I didn't say that. Don't trash talk if you can't back it up. All right? Because if you come back all swole up, I'm going to pray for you. So, Elijah prayed the 63-word prayer. Fire falls out of heaven, consumes everything. Then, Elijah, this dude is bad. He carried out all those hundreds of prophets, and he killed them all. And you're like, this dude just prayed fire out of heaven, and now he's slitting throats. It wasn't pretty. He didn't go out and give them strychnine. They didn't have that back then. He killed them all. But watch this. But immediately, after Elijah killed all the prophets of Baal, he went to Ahab and said, I hear something in my spirit. He said, I hear the sound of rain. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. This guy just prayed fire out of heaven, just killed all the prophets of Baal that were there. And then in his spirit, he went and told the king, which I'm sure the king was probably pretty mad. Because Jezebel, they all work for Jezebel, all these prophets of Baal. So here is Ahab sitting there, and Elijah comes to him. He's like, remember, I told you it wasn't going to rain. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. I just killed all your wife's prophets. Now I hear rain. I hear rain in my spirit. He said, I hear the sound of abundance coming. You see, this is what's so cool about Elijah, is if he had just, most preachers, if they had just prayed fire out of heaven and everything was going good, they'd have had their planner out booking revivals. Ooh, it got quiet in the house. They'd have had their planner out going, man, I can pray fire out of heaven. When you want me to come to your church? When you want me to come to your church? Man, I did this and I did that. Man, we had a great move of God. Things were great. Let me book some revivals right here. And would have been feeding off that success. But Elijah said, man, all this was great. Fire just came down out of heaven and all this. But I hear something else happening. I hear something different in my spirit. You see, most folks would have been gloating over the victory, over the prophets of Baal. But Elijah's saying here, there's something in my spirit. I hear something in my spirit. We have to understand that just because we have won some victories doesn't mean that what God has planned for our lives has come to pass. Elijah praying fire down from heaven wasn't what was burning in his spirit. Rain was burning in his spirit. Rain was burning in his spirit. Yes, it was awesome to pray fire out of heaven. I've never prayed fire out of heaven. If I prayed and fire fell out of heaven, I'm going to probably die. Just go ahead and call AAA. Y'all act like y'all would be so spiritual. If y'all prayed and fire fell out of heaven, it would freak you out too. Y'all act like y'all would have been like, oh. Y'all would have been like, y'all so sanctified. Y'all would have been scared to death too. If God would have spoke to you out of a bush that was on fire, y'all wouldn't have been like, yes, Lord. Y'all would have been like me. You'd have been running so fast. But Elijah praying fire down from heaven was awesome. I bet it was an incredible feat. But it was not what was needed to heal the land. Why? Fire falling out of heaven was incredible. But people still went home thirsty. Fire falling out of heaven was great. But people still went home. Their lips cracked open from thirst. Their throat dry. Things in their life the same way they were before the fire fell. Yes, it got the people all pumped up to see fire fall. But they went home thirsty. You see, the people got so excited. Man, that was awesome. That was awesome. But you see, fire don't bring an end to a drought. How many times Do people come to church and they get excited? Fire falls. It's great service. But they go home the same way they came in. Why? Because the fire does not bring an end to the drought. When they went home, they still didn't have any water to drink. When they went home, they were still in the same shape they were. Let me tell you something. Don't you for once ever think that people that sit on these pews with smiles on their face don't go home to hell. Hello? There was a lady at the old North Columbia church years ago that her husband was an alcoholic, and she would have to wait till he passed out, and she would sneak out the windows to take her family to church. Hello? Some of the people that's been around a long time know who I'm talking about. She would have to, why? Because he would beat her if he found out she went to church. You never know when people come to church and they lift their hands and they worship God what they have to deal with at home. What they're going through that nobody even knows about. So these people, even though the fire fell and everybody was excited, they still went home to the same problems. They still went home to deal with the same struggles. Can I tell you something? There's people set on our pews that go home and struggle with the same addictions. Y'all are quiet, but it's all right. They struggle with the same issues. They struggle with the same abusive relationships. Oh, well, we're saved. We don't do that. Let me tell you something. I've seen people shout and fall out in the floor and then go home and beat their spouse. Don't come at me with that. Oh, they so sanctified. Okay? Just because they hit the floor shouting don't mean they're of God. Hello? That's why the Bible teaches us that everything it says, Lord, Lord, shall not enter in. Amen? We wonder why our kids don't, most of the kids that grow up in the church don't come back to church after they get out of church. Why? Because they've seen mom and daddy live one way at the church and one way at the house. And they're so confused about what's the real deal. Is this the real mom and daddy or is this the real mom and daddy? And I'm going to tell you something. This young generation can see through fake. Hello. That's why I'm so transparent that I get in trouble a lot of times because I tell off on myself and I'm real. Why? Because we got too many fake out there. I'm just as real as they come. I struggle. I still got issues. If you can't deal with that, I'm sorry. I'm not going to act like something that I'm not. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad all of you's clapping because y'all all got issues too. Amen. Y'all smile. Some of you are staring at me like you want to clip my throat. Amen. Brad, you got me? Amen. You see, folks get so caught up in the hype and the routine of impressing folks, though, that folks leave and go unchanged. How many times do people come to church and everything is about getting people to shout, getting people to dance, and getting folks excited, and they go home unchanged? You know, it doesn't matter if you come to church and you get a goosebump or two and you want to shout and dance and raise your hands and feel good if you go home and you're still struggling. You go home and you're still battling. You go home and you're still fighting. And see, we got to get past that mindset. It don't matter if nobody shouts. I'm Pentecostal. I love to shout. I love to cut up. I love to dance. But it's not my goal to get you excited. My goal is to preach the word of God to you that will change your life. You should get excited about the word without somebody having to be a cheerleader and get you pumped up. Man, I think at many places we're almost to the point of getting cheerleaders up on the stage going, give me a J, give me an E, to get somebody to say Jesus. We can act like a fool at a football game, but we can't even lift our hands and praise God inside his house. Somebody can go to Green Bay and paint their bodies green, put a block of cheese on their head, and it's 12 below zero. Whoa! But we're fanatics for lifting our hands and worshiping God. Woo! I know it's football season. And you holler at the TV like they can hear you. Come on! That's a bad call. The referee don't even know you exist. You ought to watch a Florida game with my wife. I'm trying to study to preach, and all of a sudden I hear, come on! I go in there, what's going on? He dropped the pass. My wife loves some Florida Gators. So she has almost got me convinced that when the rapture takes place, it's going to go through Gainesville on the way up. Just a joke, guys. But people get so caught up in wanting to impress folks that they go home the same way. Elijah knew that fire falling from heaven was awesome. But he also understood that it wasn't going to set the people free from the drought. He knew only one thing could change a drought, and that was rain. And he said, I'm hearing it in my spirit. He could pray fire down, but he's hearing rain in his spirit. So Elijah had just prayed fire down from heaven, but he walks over to Ahab and says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years, but Elijah was hearing it in his spirit. So the Bible said he goes up to the top of the mountain and he puts his head between his knees. Elijah knew that fire falling from heaven was enough to excite people, but it wasn't enough to set them free. You see, he wasn't content on just getting people excited. He kept pressing to release what was in his spirit. Elijah could have been down celebrating and eating with the rest of everybody, but he couldn't celebrate until what was in his spirit manifested. So he's on the top of Mount Carmel, his head between his knees, hearing rain, but not seeing anything. Hearing rain, but not seeing anything. Let me tell you, it is a tough place to be when you hear it in your spirit, but you don't yet see it with your eyes. Oh, gosh, that's a hard place to be when you know there's more, but you don't see it yet. When you know it's there, you know without a doubt that it's coming, but it hadn't shown up yet. Anybody ever been there? You know without a doubt that it's coming, but it's just not there. And it is so frustrating. It is so frustrating to know that greatness is on the way, but you're stuck in mediocre. It's a very frustrating place to be. Here's Elijah with his head between his knees, humbled before God, crying out, God, I hear it in my spirit, but I don't see it yet. God, I hear it in my spirit. He told Ahab, he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. It wasn't just a sprinkle. It wasn't just a dab. He said, I hear a drought-ending rain coming. He said, I hear a drought-ending rain coming. And he said, everybody else is celebrating just because fire fell. He says, but I hear change coming. He said, I hear real change coming. We got politicians that'll say change you can believe in. But let me tell you something. There's change you can believe in, and his name is Jesus Christ, if you can hear him coming. Amen. There is a move of God coming that is going to sweep the face of America. And if you can't hear it, you better check your spiritual ears, because God is about to sweep this land with one more great revival. And then we are going to hear that trumpet sound. Amen. And we are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him. I don't know about you, but I hear the sound of abundance coming. Hallelujah. The things that God is doing aren't just happening by coincidence. God is divinely orchestrating things. God is divinely lining things up. And I want to tell you something. Life Church is right in the mix of it. Amen. We are seeing God do amazing things because he is positioning us and he is preparing us for what he is sending. Amen. I'm glad about 5 of y'all are on board with me. I hope the rest of you want to get on board with what God is doing. Hallelujah. So he knew there was an outpouring coming, but he couldn't see it yet. He knew that something was on the way that would affect the entire land. It would be an outpouring on everyone. So he sends his servant and he says, go look out over the sea. Mount Carmel is close to the sea. And he says, go look out over the sea and tell me what you see. The servant goes. And he comes back. He says, Elijah, I don't see nothing. There comes times in life when you are looking for it to happen. And it don't happen. How many of you has expected something to happen and it didn't happen? God, I'm believing for it. God, I got the faith that it's going to happen, but it doesn't happen. You see, that's where a lot of people give up. God, I hear it in my spirit. God, I know it's coming, and I've looked for it. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Elijah was hearing it in his spirit. He said, go tell me that there's a cloud out there, that the rain's coming. And his servant comes back and says, there's nothing. So Elijah tells his servant, help me, Holy Ghost. He sent his servant to look. Nothing. It's very frustrating to sense it coming. But each time you think it's about to happen, it doesn't. You ever had something that you thought that was right on the verge of happening? That it was going to be great? And then it didn't happen. And you're like, it was so close. So close I could almost feel it. So close I could almost taste it. And it didn't happen. And many people give up and say, well, I guess it wasn't meant for me then. I must have missed God. I'll tell you something, when God lays something on you, it's going to happen. Why? Because if God spoke it and it didn't happen, he would be a liar. And God said, I am not a man that I should lie, or the father of men that I should repent, which means change my mind. Have I not said it, yet will I not do it? In other words, God says, if I said it, it's going to happen. Now, watch this. I've been about to bust to talk to you about this. How many of you know without a doubt that Jesus is about to come back? Do you really believe he's could come back at any moment? Okay. How many of you has God spoke something to you that hadn't happened yet? There's a lot of stuff God's spoken over this church. So what does that mean? If you believe that God could come back at any moment, that means that everything that he's spoken has to go ahead and manifest now. Everything he's spoken has to go ahead and manifest now. Why? Because God can't come back until everything he's spoken to you happens. Because if he comes back before then he's not going to be able to do what he spoke to you. Oh, my God. That's why we should get so excited about the day and age that we live in, because with our very eyes, we could see the return of Jesus Christ. We could see those eastern clouds split open and him step out on the clouds and call us home. And I'm telling you, everything that God has promised is coming to pass. And that's why the clouds are forming. My God, the clouds are forming because God said, I'm about to do it so that I can come back. The clouds are forming. My God, the clouds are forming because God is about to do everything he promised. My God. So Elijah told his servant, he said, go again. He went back. He said, there's nothing. Go again. He come back. He said, there's nothing. Go again. He come back. He said, there's nothing. He did this 7 times. Go again 7 times. The tenacity. You see, if God doesn't do it the first time, keep looking. God doesn't do it the second time, keep looking. God doesn't do it the third time, keep looking. Why? Because God don't operate by our time scale. He operates by his. Well, God, I've asked God to do it and he didn't do it, then ask again. Ooh, somebody needs to hear me right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, I've asked God to do it, ask again. I've been believing God to do it, keep believing. I've asked God more than once to do it, ask again. That's the word for somebody today. Ask again. Ask again. Whew, my God. Ask again. Ask one more time. Don't give up. Don't give up. Ask him to do it one more time. He told the servant, he said, go again seven times. Go again seven times. Now keep in mind, the servant had already went all these times. All the times he looked, there was nothing there. Elijah, you sure? You sure? I've went all these times and there's nothing there. You see, when you're believing God, you begin to confess it, and it don't happen right then, people begin to question it. That's why you can't tell everybody what God spoke to you. There are people that the moment you tell them what God spoke to you, they begin to try to kill it. There are people that are professional faith killers. Jerks my nerves. You ever told somebody, oh, well, I'm going to do this for God. Well, good luck. Ain't nobody else been able to do it. That's when I turn around and look at them, why ain't everybody else? I'm a child of the King. Somebody said something to me the other day, and I told them, I said, you must not know. And they said, what's that? I said, me and God's like this. They looked at me all crazy-eyed. I felt like a mob boss. Me and God be like this. You mess with me, God's going to break your thumbs. I like to keep people guessing. They'll come to me, are you a preacher? I'm like, what day is it? It's Tuesday? No, not today. Come back and ask me Friday. Y'all killing me this morning. So they begin to question. And they ask Elijah. He's like, man, you sure you're hearing this? And Elijah says, go again. I'm sure the servant probably got like stomping off about the sixth time. I done went over here six times, and now he's telling me to go back again. My wife just said our children. And your children too. Not again. I tell Bella, time to go get a bath. I just took a bath yesterday. You got to take one every day. Do I have to wash my hair? Yes. Well, you don't have to wash yours. Go to your mama. Parents are so lucky. Well, we can shave your head too. That's Bella's big thing now. Parents are so lucky, they get to do everything. I was like, yeah, we get to go to work. We get to clean house. We get to wash clothes. We get to put up with you whining. We have to get you grown and out of college, but still feed you. They won't leave. Oh, my gosh. Haley stays another year. I'm going to write a book called Fair to Launch. You got to leave. I told her the other day, I was like, we need your room. Moving on. So he sent his servant. Y'all all right this morning? Amen. So he sent his servant back the seventh time. And the servant comes back the seventh time and goes, wait, there's something out there. And he comes back, he says, Elijah, there's something there. He said, it's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. I probably couldn't even seen that. He said, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah goes, that's it. You see, little is much when God's up in it. You see, God can take what little bit we're willing to believe for. That's why God took two fish and five biscuits and fed a multitude and picked up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Out of two fish and five biscuits, a little boy's lunch. But this little cloud, the size of a man's hand, arose up out of the sea. And Elijah said, that's it. He said, tell Ahab to get up, that the rain stop him not. And I'm sure his servant looked at him like, what? What is a cloud the size of a man's hand going to do? How many of you know it only takes a spark to start a fire? And you have to say, will I be that spark? Will I take what little bit that God has called me to do and use it for God? Do you know that if all of us would take our little and give it to God, God could do amazing things. Don't say, well, what I have is so minute. What can I do? What can I do? What little bit can this do? It can do more than you ever think it could do when you give it to God. He said, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, tell Ahab, get up. The rain's coming. Sister Beverly, would you come? And in the meantime, the Bible says, I'm getting ready to close. The Bible says as Ahab was getting his chariot together, it said all of a sudden the clouds grew and the sky became black with clouds. You know how you can tell when it's fitting to rain? The clouds get real dark. When they get real black, you know it's a big rain coming. When it kind of turns that funkiest green color, get inside, there's a tornado coming. So he said, the clouds grew black. Wait, just a second ago, it was a cloud the size of a man's hand. Within minutes, all the clouds began to form. The Bible said the sky grew black and there was a great rain. And the Bible said Elijah girded his loins. What does that mean? They wore robes like dresses. That means he reached down, he pulled it up, tied a knot in it, made him some short breeches. And he ran before Ahab all the way to Jezreel. In other words, here is this man running in front of a chariot that is running. So he outran a horse pulling a chariot. And these were very fast horses. He's running before him in the rain all the way to Jezreel. Because what he had heard in his spirit started manifesting. I want to tell you today that I believe in my spirit that clouds are forming. The clouds are forming. Why? Because everything that God has promised us is going to come to pass. Whew. And I want to tell you, my God, I feel the presence of God. If you've been asking God and you've been believing God, look one more time. Ask one more time. Because the clouds are forming. And what God has promised shall come to pass. Because he can't lie. He can't lie. And he didn't lay it on your heart for it not to happen. The clouds are forming. Will you dare to look one more time? Everybody stand with me, please. Oh, Father, we love you. Everyone, bow your head with me if you would. Father, we love you so much. God, I have delivered my heart as best as I know how this morning. And God, I pray that those that are here today that have been believing you, God, those that have been asking you but hadn't seen it yet, that God, they would have the courage to look one more time. That they would have the courage to ask one more time. God, the clouds are forming today and the rain is coming. God, I thank you for what you're about to do in hearts and lives around these altars.